I'm ready to. There we go. I have to do it quick before Don stands up because we don't want any repeats. No more excitement, Don. It's amazing when you think about the season we're in and how what lengths God will go to try to get our attention. I mean, when you think about some of the parables Jesus said, and why he said them, if you remember the rich man and Lazarus, he says, let me go back from the dead and preach to those who are still alive, because I can tell them what it was like. It wasn't a parable. I know many people teach it was a parable, but it was an actual happening, because Jesus is saying, I've been there. I was there at creation. I was there on the mountainside feeding 5,000. I called Lazarus from the tomb. I, healed the blind, the lame, the harlot. If they're not going to believe God, why would they believe you? And I believe that's where we are in Earth's history. People just don't believe God. That's what Christmas really is all about. The whole idea of he came down from heaven. Actually came down. I mean, it's mind-boggling, There's a song that says, you should have been there when the Lord saved me. We are where the disciples were. We're watching the Bible unfold. The church missed it. I mean, the Bible was unfolding before their very eyes. And the church was still going through the ritual. Complaining that they lost sleep because, like John Paul talked about, somebody had been traveling and looking that for the babe born in Bethlehem, and they're complaining about it, and they missed it. And that was 4,000 years. Remember, it says closing scenes will be shorter, because if left to go on, no flesh would be left. So that was 4,000 years to then. It's been 2,000 years. That's shorter. And we're missing it again. God is showing up. And I hate to use us. And I think it was Muhammad Ali that said, bragging ain't bragging if you can do it. I don't know if you realize, none of us have gotten COVID. Is it a miracle? I remember Rick Apperson when he tried to commit suicide, tried to jump off a cliff, and something kept pushing him back. And he showed us his chest where it was all bruised and there was nothing there. I mean, no one was with him on this cliff he was trying to jump off. And somebody in our prayer group said, that's a miracle. And Rick, just a good old boy, said, no, that's just what God does. People, I believe it's just what God does. And so we're blessed. We are blessed. I think the words of the song say, blessed beyond the curse. Because there is a curse upon the land. We're calling it COVID. I call it government. Yeah. And I don't know which one is worse. Yeah, government's been around longer than COVID, so we'll go with government. Yeah. It was a curse back in Jesus' day because the church was the government of the land, and it's a curse in our day. And they said the same exact thing. Don't go see this man. Don't go see this man because he can't help. I want us to be thankful for what we have because this is the last time we meet this year. Woo woo! I don't know how many of y'all will be glad to see 2020 go. But God, in his sixth sense of humor, gave us an extra day in 2020. Yeah, like that's what we needed. One day longer. Yeah. Have you ever prayed for one day, just one day more? Well, you got it. And then you want it over. Yeah. This is the last time this year. When we meet next year, which will be next week, I want us to start at a different place. So we already have, yeah, this doesn't happen often unless God changes it. He already gave me the message for next week. And it's an old message, but I never saw it before. And we're going to look at that next week. This week, we're going to get to be blessed since it's 2020. People, we need all the blessings we can get. Because you look at it, I guess somebody sent me a picture. It was a manger, and Mary and Joseph and Jesus had masks on. And I'm thinking to myself, if you don't get it, you don't get it. We're blessed. We have health. Okay, so we trip every now and then, Don. But we have health. Don is with us. Do you realize how different that could have been last week? I don't know if you noticed there's no stain on the carpet. Well, that's a miracle. Blood stains. Yeah. Don's with us. This year is ending. And we're going to get it sent out on a high. I don't know what the rest of the world is doing. But we're about to praise God for listening to, and many of us will sing along. If you remember, we started with the whole idea that first comes light, and if you allow the light to come in, there will be change. Only if you let the change come in, because you see, a lot of people want light, and they want to change, but the change is difficult. You know, I keep going back to the sign. The car wash is no longer out on Route 3. I don't even know what's there now. But they always used to have a sign out front, and they would change it. And it said, change is inevitable, acceptance is optional. And if you accept it, there will be joy. If you don't accept it, how's that go? If nothing changes, nothing changes. And if you allow the joy to come in, then you will have what Jesus promised. He said, peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace, because peace to the world, how many people are saying, about the election, I just want it to be over. And they're just willing to accept anything. I don't care what it is, as long as it stops. And I always go back to the prayer we had for a woman in Lynchburg one time. We were going to have an anointing for her. And I said, what is it that you want? And she said, I went out of this hospital. I said, and I asked her, I said, are you sure that's all you want? And she said, yes. I don't care what happens as long as I get out of this hospital. So I said, okay, that's what I'm going to pray for, that you get out of this hospital. And they moved her to another hospital and she died. But her prayer was answered. Yeah. Jesus says, peace I give you. Tell me the desires of you. I don't want it to be over. I want it. I think, how's that go in Scripture? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Because sometimes to get it over isn't always pleasant. And so, if you let the light in and change comes in and joy comes in, then the ultimate peace, Jesus says, peace I give you, not as the world gives peace. Because he said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. And this is the way it's recorded. It says, and Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of the line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him. And she was pregnant. She was very pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And if you remember from last year, we talked about God is in the details. Remember, all sacrificial lambs that were going to be used in the temple, by the time Jesus was born, this wasn't true at the inception of the law and the sanctuary, but by the time Jesus was born, every lamb had to come from Bethlehem. And so it was close to the temple, and every temple lamb had to come from Bethlehem. And it says she was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son. Not just hers. It was God's firstborn son. And she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them at the lodging place. And when you think about that, think about where we are. There's just no room for church. There's no room. Yeah, and God, is God really needed at this time? I don't want a virtual God. I want a real God. You know? The same people who complain that when they pray, their prayers don't go any higher than the ceiling are content with virtual gods, virtual church. And I'm just saying, there's something different about experience. You know, there's something different about actually being there. You know, I've said in my younger days, in the service, they were training us to jump out of planes, never got to do it. And today I thank God for that. But I've always thought, man, it would be neat to just go up and jump one time. And I'm going down to Lynchburg. A lot of times when we're going through Orange, we're watching the people come down tandem jumping. I say, maybe I could tandem jump. Yeah. And then I moved to, they have the indoor skydiving. I don't even want to do that anymore. I don't want to tandem jump. You know, I like terra firma because the more firma, the less terror, you know. And it's odd the way things change. And God says change is inevitable. If you allow the change to come in, yeah, we'll go more there next week. But today we want to look at the idea of this virgin birth because they missed it 2,500 years ago in the prophecies. They missed it 2,000. I mean, think about this. 4,000 years they prepared for it. And then they missed it. We look back, and if ever churches should have been crowded, it should have been this season. And I look at people, the churches that did have services, and they're wearing their mask and social distancing. And I think to myself, how do you get to heaven? Because, I mean, that's really what the birth was all about, wasn't it? It was about how do we get to heaven? People had been trying for 4,000 years. The way to get to heaven. Think about how particular this God is. The God who says, I want to take you so that where I am, you may be also. That God is so particular that for 4,000 years, he told the priest, and it's in there, you can read it. If you come into my presence with the wrong underwear, I'm going to kill you. I mean, the priest had to be dressed a certain way, down to the underwear. And if they had the wrong underwear on and they went into the temple, that's a particular God. I mean, so how do you get to heaven? How do we get there? So churches are going, if that's how particular God is, then maybe you need to do the right thing. And if you do all the right things, you can get into heaven. And then some may say, well, look, nobody's perfect. So mostly right things. But you have to eat all the right things. Yeah, I can remember being told, no one who eats meat will be translated. I guess Elijah and Enoch never read that text. Or, yeah, I don't know. So you have to eat the right things because, you know, it's body temple theology. And you don't want to pollute the temple. And then some may say, I've heard this said before, you have to dress right. Because how's God going to know his people if they look like Jezebel? Even after God says, man looks on the outward appearance. And don't tell me you don't do this. We were talking about profiling. You know. You walk in. I can remember at the storehouse, we had people at the other place. We had people used to give us a hard time sometimes. I know that's hard to believe. But, yeah. And then we had a fella come and help us who had tattoos wrapped around his head and all up his arms, you know, all over his neck and on his hands. And when he was helping us, nobody gave us a hard time. I wonder why that was. Yeah, profiling. Yeah, we do it. We do it. We look at somebody and go, like Wendell was saying about his brother. If they have a hoodie on, I can remember Geraldo Rivera told his teenage children, you are not going out on the streets of New York City with a hoodie. You're not going to do it. Because if you do, now you think about that. It's about how we look. We have to look the part. I mean, let's face it. People do judge you by the way you dress. Yeah. I mean, even Wendell said, that can't be the pastor. Yeah. And I've told people for years, I'm from the tribe of Levi. Yeah. 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 So how? What is the answer? And the problem is, see, man has said man is the answer. The way we act, the way we dress, the way we eat. For goodness sake, even the way we speak. Christians just don't talk like that. When one of the best prayers I told you was a fellow who had just been introduced to Christ, and he prayed it, and I won't repeat his prayer because we're in church, and people will say that's wrong to say. But, I mean, he just prayed to God and told God what was on his heart, but used the language that he knew. Because he was told he didn't know what to pray. And the guy said, just talk to God like he's your friend. So he did. And the rest of the people are going, I can't believe he said that. But that's the way he talked to his friends. We had to talk. Remember, there used to be a show, the Patty Duke Show. They walk alike, they talk alike. Yeah. That's the way to heaven. If everybody just walks alike and talks alike, there was another song that used to go, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. Yeah. But God says, if man can become good enough or look good enough, or be healthy enough, or sound good enough, then he doesn't need a Savior. See, the problem is, like Joe Hauser down at Snowden used to say, we have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. If we're the problem, we can't be the answer. And so, if we aren't the answer, only the answer can be the answer. I mean, it's like going in, and let's face it, many times you know you're not feeling well, and you can even know what the problem is. And even if I know what the problem is, I can't write my own prescription. I can remember a couple times when Dr. Duane was living here. I knew what happened, and I knew what the problem was. And I would call him and talk to him. He'd say, you're right, that is the problem. I'd say, well, then could you call me in a prescription? I can't fix my own problem. See, the physician was the answer. I had to go outside of myself. And God says this in Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45, beginning with verse 8 and ending with verse 8, I think. Unless he tells me differently. He says, you need an answer. You need light. You need change. You need joy. You need peace. But it all comes from the same place. And he says, heaven sprinkles from above, and let the skies shower righteousness. Let the earth open up so that salvation will sprout and righteousness will spring up with it. I, Yahweh, have created it. See, the answer isn't in us. Jesus came because Jesus is the answer. And I don't care what your problem is, Jesus is the answer. We saw it. Cancer, Eli, what's the answer? Jesus. 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 I don't care what the problem is. Election, they're wanting money. They think money can determine an election when God says, I put in and I take out whomever I will. The answer is not money. The answer is Jesus. And all the people say, everything depends on Georgia. It doesn't depend on Georgia. It depends on the cross, people. Prayer is what's going to change things. Nothing good has ever come from a board meeting, but miraculous things have happened in prayer meetings. The church was born in a prayer meeting, not in a board meeting. And when you think about it, God says, I'm the answer. I was the answer for 4,000 years before, and then I sent the answer. Just like now, we have the answer, people. For goodness sake. Even a judge in Michigan just ruled 200,000 votes were illegal in, excuse me, Wisconsin. That's because I didn't say, don't want to say Michigan, because I'll guarantee you it's more than 200,000 in Michigan. We know the answer. I don't care what Dominion says. I don't care what the electors says. God puts in and takes out. My prayers and my letters aren't going to my governor, to my congressman, or to my president. My petitions are going to my God. Because he says, righteousness will spring with it. And if you go over just a few pages, and I'm assuming it's a few pages in your phone too, to Isaiah chapter 55. See, the idea of Christmas is, that's the answer. The answer can never go from earth to heaven. The answer has to go from heaven to earth. Because let me tell you what we have. I'm trying to think of the way this is worded. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've never heard it. Filthy rags. Yeah. I don't care what it is I give you or I receive from you. It's a filthy rag. We don't have anything worth giving. We say a friend can do more good than any psychiatrist, psychologist, life coach. And you know the best life coach there is? Jesus. Jesus. The great philosopher Aaron Monroe, I remember, told a young woman one time when she was trying to, how do you word this? Come into my web, said the spider to the fly. He said, my God has never let me down yet, and I'm not going to let him down now. See? He's our life coach. I don't care how much wisdom y'all think your friends may have. Einstein had an IQ where it only goes up to 200 people, and his was above that. But he couldn't find his way home. They had to hire him a chauffeur because he would get lost in Princeton, New Jersey all the time. And they thought he was rich. No, he just couldn't find his way home. The answer has to come from above. How do I know that? Jesus. When Peter got the bright idea, you are the Messiah. He didn't say, good boy. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, you didn't get that. The Father had to come down to get the answer. Didn't come from within. The answer comes from above. The answer comes from a manger in Bethlehem. Jesus was the answer. Jesus is the answer, and Jesus always will be. In Isaiah chapter 55, he says in verse 10 and 11, for just as the rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word, Jesus says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. How come, you know, how come we're not seeing the results we want? It's not our results, people. We tell people all the time, you can count the number of kernels of corn on a cob, but you can't count the number of cobs in a kernel of corn. You think about that. Yeah. God says, it will produce what I say it will produce. You know, I should be here by now. Stan shouldn't have to go to Huntsville. Okay, he got the job. He should. Do you know I have this thought and I have this invention? I shouldn't be there. I should be the one blessing everybody. In my time. In about the space of a half hour. Or God may say, in a minute. Because a day is a thousand years is as a day. He says, for just as the rain and snow, people, it has to get inside to work. And the problem is, most of us have rain jackets on. Yeah. Oh, we spray ourselves so that we don't get too soaked. See, the Spirit was here while Jesus was here, but on Pentecost, it got inside of them. And we're too afraid. Do you know what happens when the Spirit gets inside? You're out of control. You don't know what to say. You don't know what you said. And people go, you said this. And you'll go, no, I didn't. You're out of control. The Spirit doesn't want to come upon you. It wants to come in you. That happens through the answer. Jesus said, unless I go, the Spirit won't come. You know why that is? Because what we can see, we trust more than what we can't see. And as long as they could see Jesus, what did Mary say? If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you had been here, if you had prayed, have you ever thought Man, I wish so-and-so was here to pray. What's wrong with you? The same spirit that is in, I wish so-and-so was here. Well, some are prayer warriors. Maybe so. Maybe you're supposed to be a supply officer for prayer and not a warrior. But you know what? It doesn't get to the warrior unless it comes through the supply officer. I learned that from the Civil War. Remember, General Grant was Robert E. Lee's supply officer out west. He served under General Lee. And General Lee always had this fear. If one thing General Grant knows, he knows that if we don't get the supplies to the troops, we were finished. And he was no general. General Lee was a country gentleman. General Grant, well, he was less than a country gentleman. And how did he win the war? He cut off the supplies. He wasn't a better general, but he was a great supply officer. You know, everybody is needed, and he cut off their supplies. That's all he did. They weren't better warriors when it came to hand-to-hand combat. You know, the good old boys in the South would win every time. But if they had nothing to fight with, and see, what has the government been doing recently? Cutting off the supply lines. You know, you don't have to go to church. Yeah. This is where we come together. And if we don't come together, guess what? We come apart. And he says, just as rain and snow get into the earth, my spirit will get into you and it will accomplish. When we used to plant corn, we'd put 6 kernels in every hill. Yeah. And not all 6 came. We didn't know which ones would come up and which ones wouldn't. And usually, and it confused me because after they started coming up, usually about 4 would come up out of the 6. And they'd send us out and say, pull up all but 1. Suckers. We called them. Pull up the suckers. Because they're going to drain from the good. You know. That's why when we talked about the vine and the branches, it says the Father is the pruner. What he does is he cuts off the suckers. You know. Those, and people sometimes, this has gone out and some of your family members may be watching this. Should I say, yes, I will. Sometimes family members may be your suckers. Yeah. They're keeping us from receiving what God wants to do with, through, and to us. How do they do that? We get upset. Yeah. We get frustrated. Why aren't they hearing? Why aren't they? That's not our problem. Our problem is just to receive it and put it out there. God, what did we always used to say? You catch him, he'll clean him. God never called you to clean fish, just catch fish. We want to clean them too. And the idea, God says, he says, but it will accomplish what you please. That's in the Revised Substandard Version. It will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. See, that's the thing. I don't know about you. I like when John Paul comes. You know, I just like it. I would like if he lived here. Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, we're friends. We do. But you know what? I have to live with the fact that this isn't where God sent him. You know? This isn't where God's going to... Now, he may in the future, but for this day, at this time, and if he wants to use them, guess what? He comes once a year, remember? Except this year. Why is that? I don't know. We weren't planning on it. That was not our plan. Our plan was when they came, we wouldn't see them again for a year. And then we get a phone call. And they said, would you mind if we came? And I said, yes, I would. No. Because, you see, I don't get to determine that. God, I have to say, God's Spirit laid something on them that they would drive, 8, 7 to 9 hours? Yeah. And I think I have a bad driving 2.5 to Lynchburg to give a message. He's driving 7 to 8 hours. Why? Because that's what God, he says, when I plan it, I will determine where and when and how. God says this. The answer can't come from you. The answer has to come from above. It can't come from man. See, Christmas is about the greatest gift ever given. And think about the best gift you've ever received on Christmas. And when you think back, it's not just what was inside the package. It was about those you were with. And think about this. Who was with Jesus in the manger? We know the wise men weren't. Because that was about 2 years later. But it was the shepherds. The only ones who really came. Can you think of a pastor today? Should it happen? That Jesus, and I know when he comes back, his feet won't touch the earth because it says that in Scripture. But say he were. Work with me here for a minute. Say he were walking the earth. And I said, next week our speaker will be Jesus. Y'all wouldn't be able to get in here. Because probably a lot of pastors would be here. I mean, who wouldn't want to be here? What pastor... I mean, pastors beat down the door to hear other pastors. I mean, they drive and fly just to hear their favorite pastor. Imagine if it was Jesus. I've got a news flash for you. Jesus is here. In every testimony. He was here last week. Do you think that was just something we planned? If we had planned Don falling, we would have done it much better. Yeah. We would have had fake blood there for you because we wouldn't want you to get hurt. See, what we plan, we don't want anybody to get hurt. We don't want to hurt them. You know, sometimes people get hurt, but God is revealed in it. And through it. And God says, and I don't know, when you look at what took place when the answer was sent some 2,000 years ago. How would you feel if you knew that your baby was born to die? Mary, did you know? She knew, and she had no concept. Wendell sang it, that this child that you delivered would soon deliver you. And some people say nobody has seen God and lived. Mary did. She delivered him. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Special delivery. Yeah. Can you imagine, like the song says, when you kiss your little baby, you kissed the face. Wrap your brain around that. Kissing the face of God. I mean, think about what you would do. Would you have lost him at camp meeting 12 years later? There used to be a commercial, it's 10 o'clock. Where are your children? Yeah. And this is God. This is God. This is the answer. The answer can't go from here up an arm. We can't reach up to grasp and be lifted out of this unless God is reaching down to pull us up. It's like telling a drowning man, if you swim better, you'll be all right. If he could swim better, he'd be a lifeguard, for goodness sake. He wouldn't need you. He wouldn't be crying for help. We're in an earth where we're crying for help, and the answer, we celebrated just yesterday. For goodness sake, we ought to be excited. We received the answer yesterday. Answer to what? Everything. Cancer, COVID, the election, the financial situation. Think about it. We received it. Because the answer doesn't come from here up. The answer comes, and the government is a counterfeit of God. Isn't it odd? It's GVT and GOD. And people trust GVT more than they trust GOD. You're having financial problems? Trust the GVT. They're going to send you a check for $2,000. Whoop, whoop. Like, that's going to answer all your problems. Here's what I found out. If I got a check for $2,000 in January, February 1st is still going to come. Guess what I'm going to need again? Yeah. And if they send me another one in February, guess what? March 1st is still going to come. Jesus says, I will supply all your needs. That's the one thing that the storehouse has taught me over and over every week. I know we don't have anything to give out this week. We have seed, but I'm sure if everybody came, and you know how sometimes we give the packages of 6 hamburgers, I could break it down and give everybody one. You know, this past week, we gave out hams. And Eddie and I were looking at the price of them, $47, $58. I haven't seen a whole pig worth $58. But, you know, but I mean, where did we get them from? Giant? Well, yeah, the big guy, the ultimate giant, from God. And some people don't eat ham. So we had 6 turkeys. You know how many turkeys we gave out? 6. Yeah. God knows, see? I will supply all your needs. I will supply all your needs. And they didn't come from where we usually pick up meat. They came from a place that doesn't give us meat. And I look at that and go, my answer is not from the receivers. My answer is from the ultimate giver. Yeah. Paul says, yes, we have to learn how to give, but we also have to learn how to receive. We need to be gracious receivers. John says this. Mine's written in red. He says, John chapter 6 and verse 51. It's John 6, 51. See, the answer comes from above. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. I'm the answer. I'm the answer. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world came in Bethlehem as the answer. He came to his own, and his own received him not. You know what? It's not enough. It wasn't enough to raise the dead. It wasn't enough to feed 5,000. It wasn't enough to walk on water. It wasn't enough to calm storms. You need to get rid of the Romans. Then we will believe. If you were really God, you'd get us out from this election turmoil that we're in. We know God called us to be the chosen nation, the chosen party, Republican, Democrat, the chosen party. That's not enough to just solve everything. It's not enough to get rid of the disease. It's not enough to supply us with food. I need you to do what I want. He says, I will give my life. The bread that I will give for the life of the world. Mary, did you know? She knew. You ever know something and not want to believe it? That's where she was. Yeah, maybe God's wrong. Maybe he didn't mean. Maybe when he gave me the myrrh, he just gave it because it smells nice. And we're shocked. I mean, I know it would be out of character, but what would have happened if Mary was here going, thank you, Father, it's over. And now life can begin. Shouldn't she have known he was coming back in 3 days? He told her he was. Yeah. Have you ever sat in a waiting room at a hospital and they tell you the doctor, I don't know of any doctor that comes out and goes, you know what, they're going to die and I won't be able to do anything. They usually say, don't worry, it'll be okay. That's what Jesus said more than once. That's what the angel told Mary. But all we can see is, I know he's coming back, but is this the way it had to go? Wait a second, Mary. See, you can't say, didn't you read Revelation? Because no, I didn't. But you could say, Mary, have you never read Isaiah? He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes, Mary, you will be healed. See, we want the peace that he promised. We just don't want to pay the price. If you're not getting what you want, thank God you're not getting what you deserve. You know, because I'm here to tell you, I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what your question is. The answer was given some 2,000 years ago and laid in a feeding trough. It says, Jesus is the answer. If I text, I should text all these people that are, you know, my phone's constantly going off and I have it on vibrate, you know, for church because I don't want to, you know, have the leadership by example. I don't want my phone going off in church. But let me tell you, it's been vibrating. And I know what everyone is. If you would just send us, we will match 5 times. We will match your gift 8 times. We will match. And if I text, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And you know what the answer? We don't need your prayers. We need your money. And what they really need is our prayers. You know the best thing that happened to Don last week after he fell? Wasn't the hospital visit, was the prayer that was had. And I don't know why you didn't go directly to the hospital other than maybe the right doctor wasn't there. I don't know why you didn't bleed profusely till the sermon was over. Yeah. I don't know those. But I know who does. Read Psalm 139. I read the page before there was a page. I knew you were going to fall. I knew I would hold it back. I knew that no matter what was going on, prayer would be the most important thing that could take place. See, I can't imagine what would have happened had we not just stopped and had prayer. I don't know, and I don't want to know, because you see, whatever the problem is, the answer was given 2,000 years ago. We just recognized it yesterday, and we just take it so casually, so casually. People, never think you're lucky to have us. Always think we're blessed to have you. Jesus is the answer. Jesus was the answer. And Jesus always will be the answer. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what the babe is all about. Heaven And I've been trying to wrap my mind a bit around that. Heaven actually having, and that was in the song too. He walked where angels trod. Can you imagine? I know Aaron's going to get the experience in a couple weeks. He's gone down to Disney. And it's like going to a different world. And when you leave, you're going back to the real world. Yeah. And Jesus, and you go into Disney, it says, the happiest place on earth. Jesus actually left the happiest place on earth. Happiest place, period. He left there to be the answer. The song says he came down to our level because we couldn't get up to his. And with a strong arm, he lifted us up to show us what loving is. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't care what's been done to you. It wasn't as bad. Trying to kill God. People may have stabbed you in the back. They may have stabbed you in the front. Father, forgive them, for they know not. They may have talked bad about you. They may have done worse than that. They may have told the truth about you. You know? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The answer isn't in our attainment. The answer is in his atonement. Let's bow our heads. Father, when we think about this birthday we just celebrated, let us be ever mindful, Father, that it was both the end and the beginning. You say he is the Alpha and the Omega. You say he's the beginning and the end. He's the answer to all our questioning. And if we just open up and allow him to come in and dwell in us, Father, then you can accomplish what you want to accomplish, not what we think should be done. You will send us where you want us to be, not where we think we should be. You will glorify yourself, just as your son said, I have come to do the will of him who sent me. Oh, Father, fulfill that in this coming year, in each one of our lives. Because if not, we have a tough row to hoe. Teach us that answers don't go from earth to heaven. They come from heaven down to earth. And Jesus was the ultimate answer to the ultimate problem, separation from the Father. Father, teach us over and over and over again that there was no price too high that you were willing to pay. That you emptied heaven and your heart simply to give us the answer to everything. Father, thank you for the gift. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. You said if any of us lack wisdom, you will give it freely. Give us the wisdom we need to say, here am I, send me. Glorify yourself, Father, this coming year. through what you will do through each and every person who comes to the place to say that, here am I, use me to bring glory and honor. I only do the will of him who sent me. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving. Thank you for the privilege of being alive at this time. And Father, use us in such ways that we will be amazed when we look back, because we will be doing what we can't do, but we will know who did it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. He says to us, he's our rescuer, when you're rescued, having been there and rescued people, they had no clue what was going to happen next. But those who come to rescue know the plan. And that's why God says, for I know, I'm your rescuer. I know the plans that I have for you. You're still in enemy territory. You know? I know the plans that I have for you, and I know you still live in enemy territory, but my plans are for your welfare and not to leave you here, not for your disaster. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. If you listen, you will call to me, and you will come and you will pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.